disavow any knowledge of anything I said previously.
So, okay, I've started the recording. Welcome everybody to the PNFD SDCAAD ANA Schema Modeling call for March 26th. We normally meet on the first Thursday of every month, so we will be meeting April 2nd, due to some unforeseen circumstances, we had to push this on until today. So, we've been talking about the place object and the complex object in ANAI elements basically associate themselves with things in the complex object. So think data complex, which also merges in elements of the civic address stuff. So as a number of people here have been looking and thinking about how we handle and model the civic address stuff, there is essentially information here that we would probably want to incorporate into the platform ONAP information model, and we're discussing how to do that. So so we started the recording a little late, but that's where we are right now. So I think just to try to summarize and hopefully get this right, one of the first things we want to do is to do an analysis on the complex object, as Andy Mayer suggests, and find out what's there, and maybe reverse engineer the complex object, take a look at its, you know, that it's essentially the model that comes out of that, and then evolve it from there. I have gone to the ANAI meeting before and talked about this, and of course, you know, the use of the current complex object is already quite embedded in the ANAI code, so we have to, I think, whatever we do in modeling and stuff, we have to respect the code that's already there, and recognize that it might be difficult to change if we do want to change something. So before Kevin Skaggs left, and I think, I'm not sure, but I think it was, Andy, you had mentioned a couple people who were taking over for Kevin, like Bob Papa, I think, who's on the call, and somebody else.
Del Ritchie. Yeah, we're all kind of in the same boat together now.
Okay. So we focus on some of the things that were currently, you know, more mature and at voting.
Okay.
You
know, what was the second name?
Comment stage.
It was, I heard.
Del.
Oh,
yeah,
Salvatore.
And then Ritchie. Yeah, and Ritchie, R-I-C-C-I.
Oh, okay, right. Okay.
It sounded all the updates on the license model and the PARs.
Okay, great. So I think the other thing then is, do we need to get this into the, I would assume this would be something we want to do to add to the R7 modeling requirements somewhere, this activity. I don't know.
Yeah, so I guess the idea is, if we're actually proposing changes to the ANAI schema for R7, then we need to probably, you know, pull in ANAI as well. There's mm-hmm. people that, and maybe it's a matter of understanding who's consuming that information as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're proposing changes in R7 to the implementation, or if we're simply proposing analysis for future release implementation. So.
Well, I think to answer that question, that sort of timeline question, we have to first think when do we need this civic address stuff and geolocation stuff.
Right. And need, and when we say need, though, I think it's really important to identify who's going to consume those changes, right?
Right.
Are we making the changes because, oh, it's nice to have the changes? Or are we making the changes because there are specific use cases and downstream systems that are going to be, you know, making use of the new information?
Right. So I was just about to say, I think one, it will come to a head, I think, when we get to a point where we try to turn up a real actual, you know, PNFDU or VDU. And as we start rolling out actual 5G boxes, you know, then it will be important, I think. I fear also, I mean, there is already an implementation, notably even for the geolocation stuff as well as the civic address stuff. I mean, there's a code solution in place, and I'm not sure we were asking to basically disrupt that. And kind of what Andy is saying too is, let's find out what's there and model it so that this is one of those cases maybe where modeling is kind of catching up with code. But I also get the feeling that complex object isn't actually part of the platform information model, right? And I think that's what this place object was meant to do. So if we had to design ONAP, say from scratch, from ground zero, and I think the first thing we would have done is kind of what Jacqueline started and then I jumped in on, to basically look at the standards and say, well, what's in the standards that relates to addressing and geolocation stuff? And then let's create an information model from that and then create, you know, the relevant actual software objects, right? Is that, does that make sense? So let me stop there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's, I think, the approach that we've had for other parts of the information model where we sort of looked at, well, what are the standards out here? What would be the sort of generalized needs? And base ourselves on standards that are already ready for us to take.
Right.
So with the caveat that these things, you know, need to be evolved, right? In some ways, if we have new stuff that we're modeling, standards are wonderful and we can implement that very easily. But in ways where we have an existing implementation, especially in a shared database, we have to understand that this is an evolution, right? And we have to understand what we have now.
Yes.
And understand how we need to be careful about how changing it impacts
right.
feeders of that information.
Sure.
So the analysis is good. And so I'm still wondering, what are we proposing for the next release? Are we proposing just the analysis? Or are we proposing to actually...
So again, kind of what I was getting at is, you know, is there an actual use case that really critically needs the geolocation and the civic address stuff. So I don't know, Zoo, do you have an opinion, like maybe the onboarding stuff or the software upgrade, or, I mean, what are the PNF things, the plug and play? I don't know that we super, in my opinion, I don't know that we critically need this in R7. I don't know, so maybe Zoo has a different opinion. Hey there, Zoo. There's a bunch of,
But. Sorry, I was talking on mute. Yeah, for PNF part, I don't think it's so urgent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the VNF is different.
Okay.
Yeah, and perhaps, this is just my suspicion, but perhaps containerization and multi-cloud, third-party cloud, might have some impacts here, okay, because there's other geographies that could be represented, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't want to lose probably the idea that some of the attributes probably need to be extended just to support globalization, and that's probably, you know, I'm guessing from an external perspective, might be some of the things that might need to be updated. But that's the analysis, I think, that has to happen.
Sure. Okay. Okay. So Zoo has chimed in and said the VNF will likely need the civic address and location stuff or complex information before the PNF will for R7. And Andy has said that the other possibilities are the containerization and multi-cloud attributes that may need and attributes that may need to be extended to support globalization.
Well, not necessarily. I think globalization is yet a different item. So I think there's... There's containerization, multi-cloud, third-party clouds, kind of one cluster.
Okay.
And then support for globalization is yet another
thing,
maybe driver. Okay. Now, with that being said, I'm not sure what the actual impacts are, just possibilities of probably some initiatives we need to plug into to see if there are any uses for that.
Okay. And are there, I mean, there are, multi-cloud is already a platform component, containerization. Is there a use case for this globalization, or do you have something in mind per se? That
no, I just, I'm going on some of our previous discussions around the complex object in place and how some of the concepts in the complex class, the attributes specifically, seem to really be North American centric.
Okay.
So I'm asking for others to maybe take a look at that and provide their opinions as far as possible updates, not just place, but also, you know, complex, mainly complex actually, to show, you know, can we reapply attributes and maybe even just change the definition a bit so that they can be more broadly used for in a global environment. Are there any missing attributes that would need to be put in? And if there are, keep in mind that these are things that would change in NAI and would need you know, someone to stand behind it and say, we have a need for this, we're going to consume it. I'm just putting the question out there. I'm not saying it's, you know, fact that we need to do it, but I'm sure there's others that are in a position, a better position to answer that their need for that.
Right. So there are things that we need to potentially analyze. I can appreciate that. Okay. So we have a few. Oops. Shoot. We have a few action items here. So basically, the place object maybe will fall out from these other two things, but reverse engineering the complex object, we need to find out at a more immediately what we need to do in R7 with respect to this, and then basically the information model and potentially the development of a place object. Any other thoughts from anybody on this? Okay. So this is the list of standards here. All right. So we've sort of done the analysis. Jacqueline and I were looking at the geolocation standards. From RFC 6225, these are the elements that are listed there: latitude uncertainty, longitude uncertainty, latitude, longitude, altitude, so forth. Most of this is already in the complex object. Well, the latitude, longitude, and altitude, I should say, are in the complex object. It's not clear if we need some of these other things: altitude type and resolution and map datum. Those I don't think are modeled anywhere, to my knowledge. So maybe when we do some of this other analysis to figure out the geolocation stuff, how critical is it that that we have this, we can, as we start incorporating that into the other model stuff, we can think about that too. So I don't know, Andy, what do we need to do to present or to raise awareness to the rest of the modeling community? Do we want to just mention this, that this is probably an R7 activity that we need to do, and these are some action items that we need to take? Or do we keep going here?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, the reverse engineering, it was definitely something worth pursuing, right? Because we've identified potential need for it. You can definitely read that out on a subcommittee call, because I think we're pretty much there. It's like it's one object class, right? I just would suggest pulling out the descriptions and attribute names and such.
Okay. And I've kind of already done that. So I mean, this is from the
There's probably descriptions for each of those attributes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I would just suggest pulling out everything. Yeah, that's in.
Sure.
It's probably all in the Swagger file anyway. You can probably grab it from there.
I'd have to recheck, but I think I used. No, maybe I didn't actually do this as an example. I could probably whip something up though, even with the old. I have the Swagger files and all this.
Yeah.
So I could probably pull out the descriptions pretty easily at this point.
It shouldn't be a large undertaking. It's probably the time it takes for a coffee break. You can probably do that.
Yeah, sure. So let's do that. Let's we have this is already a developed thing already in ONAP. So
So it's really bringing to the attention of the modeling subcommittee that you have this, here's what the complex object looks like in AI.
Right.
And here's some ideas around it. It maybe help socialize that. But also, it would go a long way if you could plug into some use cases that have a need to update it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, I think that, finding the need for updating it and some champions behind that would be the place you want to focus some attention. And then once you have people behind it, as far as expressing a real need, then we can look at making it an R7 modeling requirement to start, and then see if it's a need to actually be implemented in R7 or not.
Mm. So maybe Zhu, would you think the onboarding, pre-onboarding use case might be a place where this might be a sort of need, or can you think of one of the other use cases that? I don't know, what's your opinion?
Well, for the VNF one, I think there is project, I think it's Verizon is driving that. It's called NC alignment or something.
Oh, NC alignment, okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if they have the consideration to add this one. That's the part I'm not so clear.
So again, it's probably a matter of, identifying clearly, here's what we have, right, with the definitions, and then kind of enumerating what the related projects or initiatives or use cases would be, and then engaging them, right, to actually see if there is a real need there.
Yeah, it's onboarding NC004, the third one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But and I don't know.
Typically, complex would be something that you would have to, create, through some onboarding activity. It's good though. So it's probably good to, once you describe the class, right? Say, it would be good to, begin those discussions with identified initiatives inside of ONAP.
Okay. Thanks, Sue. All right. So maybe as an action, Jacqueline, do you want to export the complex object info?
Yeah, sure.
And by export, it can be from eyes to fingertips.
Yeah. Right.
Create a representation.
Okay.
One of the best adapters ever built.
An adapter on two legs. They can eat hamburgers. All right. Let's see. All right. So we're kind of past the IETF 4776. Okay. Moving on here, another topic was about the PNFD mapping and USL001. Jacqueline and I had talked about multi-language support, and we're doing that in the context of a lot of the civic address stuff, addresses in other countries that are obviously going to be in other languages. Is there support for that, or are they anglicized? And then so I went around and asked the different PTLs. Ite from Vid said there's no plan for that. Manoop from the Portal project says that's already supported. Tao from the UUI project had said that it will be supported, or by now it should be supported. And Ophir and SDC says it's not supported. So one of the things that we thought is maybe we need to bring that to the architecture or TSC and raise awareness about multi-language support as a result of our analysis here. So we can certainly do that. So Jacqueline had started an analysis and I had done something similar as well. Let me see, I think it'll help just to pull up the analysis here. I think it's this one. Oh, maybe not. Let me see. Here. Okay. So in the civic address stuff, and people who have been on this call from the beginning will recognize this, but we do have some new people here too. So again, Jacqueline started this analysis of the civic address stuff from IETF RFC 4776, mapping into the things that are in the ANAI complex association, and things that a lot of things do potentially map, but some things don't, like city division, borough, neighborhood, block. So there's 12 things that don't map nicely, let's say. And these are the 12 things that potentially don't map. And then we asked ourselves, do we really care about those? Like, do we really need to know, you know, the cubicle workstation of, you know, down to that resolution? Is that meaningful? And I think we kind of said two things. One, we said, let's wait until the complex and place development stuff is done and the analysis on the complex object. And number two, we kind of said, probably not, to summarize, right? So this is that the view of the place object that Kevin Skaggs started and showed us off the root object here. And I think Kevin already put this in experimental under root, actually. So I think it's sort of waiting to be developed or evolved, right? All right. Any thoughts on that so far? Okay. And then one of the likely things that will need this, actually, we can also add the Etsy mapping. Okay, so I think these are sort of the use cases that might be using some of this initially, the PNF plug and play. So all these pages are actually under our meetings. I've been putting under the plug and play use case because that's likely one of the first use cases that we'll care about reporting things like, you know, the location of the PNF, for example. And as Zoo just mentioned, probably that Etsy mapping thing, use case from Verizon happening in R7. And of course the PNF registration bus event is part of the plug and play use case, I guess. So, okay. And then the PNF demapping. So the PNFD and the ANA model mapping on onboarding, improvement of ingestion into SDCAD model. So we had said that we should go to SDC for this. I don't know, Jacqueline, do you have more insight into what you think we need to do here?
Um,
This is kind of what's in SDC maybe, and this,
yeah, I think that's what's in SDC, and then the above is what's in Sol001. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do we need to map across these two things and see what is what's in SDC essentially sufficient for what for our needs? Basically, is kind of I think what this item is about maybe.
But some of that is in the slide pack that I had done, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So right. Probably some of that is already there, and we can dust it off and reuse it.
Right. So the question is, what's the next step of this section up here? Is kind of what the right? I would think we're looking at what's in SL001, what's available in SDC. And then as we map across from those two things, are there things that are missing, right? Isn't that's probably the next thing we need to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we had said was more or less that part of this will be driven by the use case there as well, right? Because it would depend on if anyone is actually going to specify that geographical location in Sol001 and what else they're specifying in Sol001. Because most of this is sort of mapped over, but I think we had a discussion about this, that because geolocation in PNFD is that's not per site. Right, you don't get a PNFD per site necessarily.
Correct. Right.
And so the question is, if that's going to be a useful case where a vendor would specify this in a PNFD, probably not. But if you would have a measurement system over ONAP that's doing this the Etsy way, then maybe the PNFD that you bring in that case has actually got some inventory information. And then that would actually be there. Or there could be things that are on a much higher level, you know, at least the country might be specified. Mm. So here it's not really clear to me in any case what really, if we're going to get any useful information out of an Etsy style Sol001 descriptor and what it actually would mean in that case. So maybe this is something to take up with Tin again. What's the real Etsy use for this?
So one of the things that also we had mentioned, which I did go to Tin about, was adding this new geolocation thing in the list of the Sol001 type. So we probably need to take up that ball again. I see where. Oh, here. Okay. So Tin did respond to me. And this was late last year. We had basically had this sort of action item of, shouldn't we introduce the geolocation as its own separate thing, like the civic address element, add a geolocation element essentially, right? I don't know if I'm gonna call it element, but just to be consistent, I suppose. And he was open to it. I think maybe I'll pursue this further. So I'll contact him again.
Just reading that text, though, it's a little bit of a chicken and egg thing, right? I mean, if we in ONAP are driving that addition, mm-hmm. then we have to sort of own the use case. But since in this case, I mean, I'm not sure that I understand the Etsy use case for why the civic address was added in the first place. So then it's a bit difficult to know, like I say, what might actually come in from an Etsy compliant system. Mm. What would we actually get there?
So well,
you see what I mean? It's not enough to sort of say what would we need, but also what is what can Etsy give us in that situation, actually?
Yeah. So in the descriptor, in the descriptor, basically you're trying to, you were describing the capabilities of the resource, right? And I mean, I think this geographic location stuff is already in SL001, isn't it?
It is. But, and can you flip back to that just for a sec?
Flip back to what? Oh, this?
That, yes. Because here you have a required country code.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that that could be something as a vendor where we could maybe have something to say, because here we're talking about, you know, if we would want to specify that because of having different market specific, you know, descriptors or something like that, and we want to say this is the descriptor for this market and this is for that market, or you know, or different legal requirements or whatever. I have a harder time figuring out as a vendor what we would put into civic address element, because then you really are talking about a site, and then
yeah,
we shouldn't be doing that. And this is where I'm bringing up
sure
the Etsy case, because if this is a vendor PNFD, then really none of this is so terribly useful.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about an Etsy use case where they are filling in something, then we need to know more about what they're actually going to fill in. Because otherwise, it's sort of not, I mean, we would need to know where that's coming from and in what level of detail, and is it a site? Is it something less granular?
So does this go back to the onboarding for Etsy?
Yeah, in some sense, because, I mean, again, in our own app case, we're presuming, you know, SDC takes in a vendor PNFD and then does stuff with it.
Correct.
And then we're sort of local within SDC, and then we don't care so much about Sol001. But when we're talking about Etsy onboarding, if somebody would fill in this geographical location, what are they filling in and why? And is it useful then for us to map that? And would geographical coordinates be useful or be possible for an Etsy-based system to fill in at that point?
Or even meaningful during design time, yeah. So, I mean, I think as you said, I think as a service provider, I could kind of see maybe a zone or a region or a country during design time might be something that's useful for, I don't know, placement or edge construction or something. Certainly this information is far more useful during runtime, during instantiation of resources. I'm on board with you. And arguably the RFC 625 may not be useful at all during a descriptor design time and SDC. So, but anyway, we should probably just at least discuss with Tin. I'll see if I can set up a meeting with Tin Jacqueline, and maybe I'll invite the people here and we can just have a side discussion rather than take, because the monthly calls are usually already booked with topics. Okay. So the other next topic is the 5G service model use case. So most people have seen my work on that with the 3GPP TS20.540 and 541, the 5G network resource model. And I had done the legwork in R6 to take a look at all those parameters. I'll just refresh your memory really quick. And basically from the standards, I had contacted the rapporteur of that document, Jinping, and asked if there was a sort of spreadsheet for that. And she said there wasn't, so I took a few months to make one, taking all the objects and their attendant parameters. And then I put all the parameters in its own tab in its own spreadsheet. And these are from the document. These values and stuff are from the document. But then I added also which possible components we might put this into, either the runtime config DB or possibly in ANEI. I then went to ANEI and basically confirmed that, well, most of these aren't going to be in ANEI as I had thought, but I wanted to confirm with that ANEI team. And essentially, the things that we might put in ANEI are kind of already there, either through the complex object or just things in the ANEI, so that's good. I would have been a little surprised if we wanted to add new stuff to ANEI. So as you'd expect, basically most of these things are runtime type information that would sit outside of inventory. And then I also mapped the classes that they're mentioned in the document. And then these are notes that I took when I had meetings with the ANEI team. Then I presented this at the object on a number of different use cases, the use case realization call, the 5G use case team call, the modeling subcommittee, and there were various things that people raised, points that people raised during those calls. So these are some notes from the calls. So this is a scheduled, this is was a scheduled use case in R6 as modeling only work. So now I think in R7, we want to continue this. So it's kind of, to continue this, I think we now want to look at some of the objects that are mentioned in this document. And there are on page 52, there are actually, I don't know if it's taken right there, but maybe there's some in section 5, actually, I think 5.2. So there's some objects that are already there, object classes that are already sort of suggested. And the question is, do we want to use those? And maybe what we want to do is maybe introduce one of those objects as maybe experimental or something. And there's a similar sort of question of when will these be needed? When will these be used? How will they be used? And there's two use cases that are already kind of using this, OFS on PCI use case and the network slicing use case. So the network slicing team has already, or is already aware of 3GPP VTS 28.541, and they've already looked at some of these parameters. So I've been in contact with them as well. And I attend every Friday the OFS on PCI use case team meets, and I join that call every Friday. So, yeah.
Benjamin, can I ask a clarification question?
Sure.
Yeah, for the NRM parameter, so what's the intention for that? Is that assuming all the PNF will support this 3GPP specs?
That's a good question. So, the reason why I started with the 3GPP, 28.54 and the 5G NRM is because if you've, like, I've been working in the wireless industry for more than 20 years, and I'm sure most of us have been in the wireless industry.
Sorry, it's hard to hear you.
Oh, so I was just saying that, many of us have been working in the wireless industry for a long time. I've been in the industry for, more than 20 years. And I think, there are hundreds and sometimes thousands of parameters that describe, a base station, right? So what I wanted to start with is something that probably would be less contentious. And I think the standards is a place to go where, people have, there's already been vetted in the standards, a discussion of the parameters that are likely to be relevant, right? And that's why I started with the NRM. Now that said, the question is does ONAP, number one, does ONAP need to know about any of this? And number two is there an actual use for this, right? So those are natural questions to ask. And so the answer is there's a couple of use cases and there's a few parameters that are needed now. And we could certainly wait until there's an there's an actual real use case that's going to be needing these. But, you know, having watched for many releases now, you know, the development of ONAP, I mean, it takes time to introduce stuff, and we want to sort of more carefully think about stuff. So rather than it being an emergency, what I was about to get to, and that's a good segue for what you asked, is, you know, maybe what we should do is just introduce something as experimental first, and then and then introduce the rest of it on an as needed basis. So that might be a way to proceed, right?
Yeah, but okay. But then the intention of this that you introduce those parameters into the information model, for what purpose? I mean, even for configuration DB, if you have a schema there, which based on the NRM parameter, it doesn't have to have those parameter inside the information model, right?
Yeah. So I think that all I did was really just the analysis at first, right? So,
I understand what you did. I think that's a very good job. The only thing is I try to understand the intention to add those things into information model.
Yeah. So I think, in the information model, that's where that would drive the data model, right? And I think the intention is to have the information and data model support a use case eventually, right? So I think that would be the long-term goal, and to introduce this ahead of the use case. In this case, I'm suggesting maybe we should look at one of these things, pick something, and so that we set a precedence, right? We could just do nothing. Like, I've kind of done the analysis. Here's the things from the standards, and here's all the attributes. And certainly for R6, I feel like I've achieved what I set out to do. So I have a good understanding, after I feel all the suggested, you know, objects and classes and attributes. And I'm brought it to the, you know, I brought it to the information, or the, you know, the data modeling team. What do we think we should do next, right? So I'm completely open to suggestions. I mean, you know, if we just want to wait, I think I'm okay with that. But if we want to do something so that be proactive, I'm okay with that too.
I think your analysis is very good and it's very important. But that's in the scope of a runtime DB project. I think that's important information to be there. Hmm. But in terms of information model, I would like to see the use case first.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's fair. I'm okay if we want to wait to the actual use case. Mm-hmm. That's fine. So maybe we just, yeah, or you know, I've already brought it to the attention of the modeling team.
So Ben, on the on the service call yesterday, the service model call, Tin presented some of the Yetzi work that seems very closely related to this.
Okay.
And it's probably worth closing the loop, you know, with him a bit as well. Okay. To see what we can do about making sure the models remain coordinated, and what extent, you know, from an onboarding perspective, et cetera, that some of these things need to be represented.
Sure. Okay. I think it doesn't hurt to, I mean, we could certainly wait, but I don't think it hurts to, from the information modeling side, say, you know, here's a hypothetical use case that's going to introduce, you know, the PCF function, and how would that look like in the information model, right? Because at some point that's going to happen, and, you know, the fear is that at some point when you really want to turn up a 5G network, all of this will happen all at once, and you might be overwhelmed, right? So, whereas if you do it when you have the time, it'll be more carefully, rationally done. And when you do it when you don't have the time, things, shortcuts are taken, and I've seen that more times than I want to count in my career. So, right. So again, our next meeting will be April 2, in this case, April 2. And I think what comes out of today's meeting is that there may be some things that we will eventually be adding to the R7 release agenda. So possibly some work with the CIVIC address or geolocation stuff, possibly something with the service modeling, 5G service modeling, possibly something with the alignment with SL001 and ANI, the CIVIC address stuff. So I think, Andy, when we're just investigating something, like we don't know yet if it's going to go in R7, is that something that we put down as low priority experimental or something? Like, we don't know yet if this is going to be something we want to add to R7, but it's work we're doing in R7.
So this would be a modeling only activity is what you're saying.
I mean, let's just take an example of what we said for like the reverse engineering the complex object and its relationship to the geolocation to the address stuff. And eventually maybe something in ANI might be updated, but again, we don't know yet if that's the case, right? So it's modeling only, I guess. Modeling activity only. Right?
That's how I would categorize it, yeah.
Okay. But it is something we would want to put in the release as something that we want to
in the release? What do you mean?
In the R7.
It's a modeling activity.
Yeah.
Okay. The question is, you know, is it going to have code commitment to change code, or is it
right.
just modeling only?
Right. Okay. All right. I think we're at time. Any final thoughts?
And then there's also the use case relevance stuff that we should identify.
Right. The table. Right. Okay, any final thoughts before we close? Okay, if not, thank you everybody for meeting. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.